Composer Brian Harnady finds inspiration in unusual places. One composition uses oral histories recorded in Appalachia in the mid-20th century. His most recent work is called Words and Silences, and it uses recordings of Thomas Merton, an American Trappist monk, author, theologian, and poet. On the podcast Essential Tremors from WYPR, hosts Matthew Byers and Lee Gardner talk to musicians about songs that shape their work. In an upcoming episode, Byers speaks to Harnady about a song that helped inspire him to become a composer. Here's an excerpt.
Okay, now I hope we can go on recording like this. I think it will stay down. Good, let's go. Sound of an unperplexed wren. No comment necessary.
Much of composer Brian Harnady's work is written for very small ensembles, such as this one, Sound of an Unperplexed Wren, which incorporates the words of the late Trappist monk Thomas Merton. However, one of the songs that influenced him most was written for a full 150-piece orchestra, Igor Stravinsky's Les Noces.
It's still part of Igor Stravinsky's earlier period. It came after The Rite of Spring and was supposed to be for a huge orchestra, but that was right at the beginning, I think, of World War I, and that obviously wasn't possible. So it uses all of these different Russian folk songs and essentially creates a Russian folk wedding. And it's really amazing to listen to because as you listen, you hear all these voices, fragments of voices around you. There's a lot of celebration, but it's also, it feels somber at some points. It feels sometimes like a James Joyce novel where you're walking through a place and you hear all of these different fragments of what people are saying that all create an image of a place, almost like a like you are doing an ethnographic study or something like that. As a kid, you know, I loved listening to Stravinsky, and I appreciated the sort of, well, I played in a lot of like bands in high school, and we did a lot of like math rock and prog rock. But when I first listened to Stravinsky, he sort of like, you know, ticked all those boxes off. You know, it had a little bit of everything. And then the final version, which is from 1923, is for four pianos and percussion along with the voices. There was a composer, Louis Andreessen. I think he compared the two versions like this. I think he said the 1919 one was like, you know, like a cart, you know, drawn by a horse, and the 1923 version is like a, you know, a sleek modern train or locomotive or something like that. I also have to say that I'm not a fan of operatic voices, and so for this piece to be, you know, so influential on me, it's really something. I think despite that fact, it, you know, the piece inspired me deeply. There are short fragments of sound. They're popping all around you of dialogue. It's chaotic and full of celebration, but also sorrow too. And again, there's sort of like that ethnographic quality where you feel like you're immersed in the middle of it, and it doesn't, you know, it feels like not, I mean, it's totally rehearsed, but it feels spontaneous. And I definitely picked up on that quality. I also really love the way that the instruments work together and that you could get so much sound out of this odd assortment of, you know, player pianos and cimbaloms and harmoniums. I just thought, when I started to make my own albums, I was using a lot of toy and junk instruments and old pianos, and I definitely, you know, lifted that sound world. It feels like it's going off the rails a bit, and I really appreciated that. I also like that it was not orchestral. I mean, I like that it was a small ensemble and mostly weird, and it made me feel empowered, like I could do this too, and I don't need to have like these gigantic forces to make something that feels really moving and powerful.
You can find Brian Harnetti's music on his website, brianharnetti.com.